God's Word. We're going to read verse 15, but we're going to go to verse 16. That's where we're going to preach at tonight. And there's three fundamental truths that you'll find there tonight. And we're going to take one of them fundamental truths tonight. One is all we're going to take tonight. Not, we're going to talk about all three, but we're only going to take one tonight, and we're going to discuss it tonight. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you so much for loving me. Lord, as I bow my head tonight and pray to you, I lift up these prayer requests that's all over the house tonight, the ones that tonight that will be traveling. I lift them up tonight. Lord, the ones that tonight that has doctor's appointments, the ones that's battling cancer, the ones that are sick tonight, the little nine-year-old that's missing. Lord, I lift these up to you tonight. Father, I'm not praying to a dead God, but I'm praying to you, the living God, the one true God tonight. And Lord, as we study this word tonight, I pray that you open my eyes. I pray you open the eyes of this class tonight. I pray that we take it in tonight and we be what you've called us to be. Father, I thank you for the book of 1 John tonight. I thank you for the inspired, inerrant, infallible word tonight that it's true. Father, when we read this word and we study it, it comes alive in our life. Lord, I pray for all of our teachers that are out tonight in the classrooms tonight and they're teaching them young children. Lord, I pray tonight that you're raising up men and women that have follow you and serve you all the days of their life. Lord, I pray tonight that you have your will and way in this service. I pray we'd be careful to let the Holy Ghost examine our hearts tonight, examine our mind, examine our soul tonight. And Lord, I'd pray it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. I ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And tonight as we come here, we're talking about in 1 John chapter number 2, John uses a phrase here, if you'll look in verse number 16, and he says, "For all that is in the world, for all that is in the world." That's what he uses. And there's three fundamental truths that you're going to find here in this one verse tonight. And he said, all that is in the world, no matter what goes on in your life, no matter what goes on in my life, if I'm a born-again child of God and I start drifting back from the Word of God, or I start drifting back from church, or my fire becomes where it's not where it needs to be, there's not going to be no other thing tonight that'll lead you away. It's not going to be tonight. There's nothing else can lead you away tonight. There's three fundamental truths that's found here in the Word of God. And John says tonight that these three are of the world, and all the failure, all the faults, everything that you'll find tonight will be found in these three tonight. And as I study this, and I understand tonight that what John's talking about, and you will too, as we read this text tonight. He said, for all that is in the world, everything that you'll see in this world, everything that you'll hear, everything that you'll experience that is not of God will be found in these three fundamental truths tonight. And that is this. Number one of them being this, is this, the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. And number three, the pride of life. Tonight, let's look at the first one, though, that's mentioned. And I don't want to overskim these. I want to take one of them at a time, and I want to look through the Word of God and show you and show me in the book and the Bible tonight what it is that hiccups us up. Have you ever seen somebody, or let me say my own life. I don't want to use somebody. I want to put a name with it. Have you ever, in my life tonight, Brother B.J. Mills, I've seen times in my life, and you have too tonight, where you have been on fire for God. You've been pushing, and man, I tell you what, it's just been great, and then all of a sudden, it starts filtering back. That fire's not where it needs to be. That flame ain't like it used to be. It's smoldered down just a little bit tonight. Well, there's three fundamental truths, and the number one tonight that you'll see, and I will too, is this. It's the lust of the flesh is number one tonight. The lust of the flesh tonight is what I want to look at tonight. And there's two key words with the lust of the flesh, and I want you to get this tonight. Two key words before we examine this text and get in deep into the Word of God. Number one key word is lust tonight. It says tonight in verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Number one tonight, I want you to understand this. The key word is lust tonight. To lust would be to desire. You crave for something or you have a longing for it. You have a desire, you have a craving, or you have a longing for it. So tonight he says, if you want to know what's in the world and you want to know what will hiccup you up as a child of God tonight, it is the lust of the flesh tonight. And tonight, by the way, every individual that's in this room tonight, your flesh loves to be pleasured tonight. There's not a person, you'll never get old enough where your flesh don't like to be pleasured. Your flesh will always love to be pleasured. Nobody in this room loves to be beat on. What do they love to be? They love to be pampered. They love to be taken care of. They love to have a good time. And I think about my wife and my daughter. They'll go up there to that Hollywood Nails. Hey, she's just walked out. Hey, that's between her and them two. Amen. But they go up there and they go to that place and they get their nails done and their toenails done. And the first time I walked in there, I didn't know what to do. I just knew I needed a birthday present. And when I walked in, she said, what does she need? And I started saying, well, I just want to have her to be took care of. And I want her nails. And I couldn't understand the woman and she couldn't understand me. And when I walked out, she'd done swiped my debit card for $220 for my daughter and my wife. And I walked out. I told Kaylee, I said, do y'all spend this all the time when y'all come in here? And she said, no, Daddy, I was wondering what you was buying. I said, I don't know, but you make sure you and your mama, y'all have a good time when y'all come. Because we done $220 in here. But tonight, what I'm trying to say is, everybody in this room, you have a desire. You know what you have a desire for. You know what you have a craving for. And you know what you have a longing for. The only problem, there's nothing wrong with desiring stuff. There's nothing wrong with craving stuff, and there's nothing wrong with longing for stuff as long as it's not of the world. And of the world tonight is this, the lust of the flesh. The second key word tonight is flesh tonight. And here's what he means about flesh tonight. When you look at this text, the flesh, that is the sinful nature that we are born with. So that sinful nature, you know the things that are wrong that you don't need to touch. I don't need to tell you that tonight. But as we study that, I must not desire, I must not crave, and I must not long for stuff that is sinful tonight. Tonight in my life, I must not long for them things. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? I want to show you some things that the lust of the flesh is tonight. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Number one tonight, the lust of the flesh, it is real tonight. You can write that down tonight. You can take it to the bank. The lust of the flesh, it is real tonight. A sinful habit, sinful nature, sin in life, it is real tonight. And it will come upon a saved person just like it will a lost person tonight. And I want you to be aware tonight as your pastor that when you get to this place in your life and you see that your fire is dwindling down and it's cooling off, you make sure tonight that you're not doing the lust of the flesh tonight. He says, number one tonight, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 18, Apostle Paul, he said, and you know who Paul was, a mighty man of God, and he loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his might, but he found himself in the same place with this lust of the flesh. And he says tonight when you get here, he says in Romans 7, 18, for I know that in me. Paul said, I know that I'm born again. I know I've been on the Damascus Road. I know I've seen the light from heaven. He said, but I want you to know tonight that the lust of the flesh, it is real. Even though you're saved tonight and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that old lust of the flesh, it'll peek its head up from time to time. And you and I must get to that place when that old flesh wants to be pleasured with sinful things. We must say tonight, no. We must learn that two-letter word tonight. No, I will not do that tonight. Look what the Bible says in Romans 7, 18. Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh tonight, look what he says, dwelleth no good thing. Paul didn't waver. He didn't say there's a little good in my flesh. There's a little bit I can do. I can dabble here. Or I can dabble there. You know what Paul said? He said the lust of the flesh tonight, it is real and it's inside of every one of us tonight. And the only way that we're going to keep it at bay and keep it pressed down is by studying the Word of God and allowing the power of God to rule in our life. Look what he says. It dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. He said, my will is there. I have a will tonight to do what's right. Friends, tonight there's a lot of good people that do wrong tonight that has a will to do right. And you say, what are you talking about, preacher? I know a lot of Christians and you do too, and I've been there myself. I had a will to do right. Hey, but I also have a will to do wrong. And if whichever one I feed the most is the one that's going to win tonight. He says this. is but how to perform that which is good. He said, I find not. Look what he says in verse 18. He said, I don't know how to do that which is good. He said, I don't understand. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul says in 19, that lust of the flesh, it starts raising up. That I know to do, I don't do. But that I know not to do, that's what I find myself doing. Have you ever been there tonight? Hey, I know not to do that. I know not to do that. But I find myself doing it. Paul said, I want you to know that the lust of the flesh, it is real tonight. There's nothing good about it. Look in verse number 20. He says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And look what he says here, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So tonight, the lust of the flesh, it's real tonight. Paul says, for I know that in me there's nothing good. And can I say to you tonight that the flesh wants to be fed tonight? If it's living inside of you, it's wanting to be fed. If it's living inside of you tonight, and Paul said it lives inside of every one of us tonight, it wants to be fed. The flesh wants to be fed. Number two, the flesh wants fulfilled tonight. It wants to be fulfilled. It wants to be where it can be tonight. But let me give you this. It also wants freedom. It wants to get loose. It wants to get free tonight. Have you ever said, man, I've been doing good for so long, just a little bit won't hurt. Hey, I've been doing good for a long time, just a little bit won't hurt. Hey, they ain't nobody here, nobody will know it, just a little bit won't hurt. Hey, I'm on vacation, just a little bit won't hurt. Hey, I'm over yonder, just a little bit won't hurt. Hey, can I say to you tonight, though, that the lust of the flesh tonight, it is real and it lives inside of every one of us tonight. Do you know what tonight? A little bit will hurt. You know what a little bit will do? It'll destroy everything that's inside of you. It'll destroy things that's going on the inside. So number one tonight, I see he says here that the lust of the flesh, and that's what we're staying with tonight. Number one, the lust of the flesh is real tonight. But I got a second thing I want to tell you tonight. Not only is the lust of the flesh real, I'm talking about it is real. You see people that used to sit on pews, and then you see them again, and it's real. That lust of the flesh has done come in their way. I'll never forget, I was at Max Minute Mart in Sullivan, Alabama, and my wife had pulled up, and it was cold weather, and I pulled up beside her, and I was going to pump her gas because the wind was blowing. And this little girl, she started coming across the parking lot, probably, I don't know, 20-year-old at that time, used to go to church here. And when she come around across the parking lot, I didn't have no clue who she was. And she said, Brother BJ, can I talk to you for a minute? I didn't have a clue who it was. And I motioned for Brandy to get out of the car, and she come around where she was at, and she called the girl by name, and when she did, about blew my mind. I didn't know. That ain't the girl that I once knew. That ain't the girl that used to attend here. That ain't the girl that used to sit on the pew. That ain't the girl. That ain't the one I remember that got born again, that got baptized in the baptismal waters. That ain't the one that I remembered then. But I want you to know that lust of the flesh, it was real in her life at that moment, and it was relentless. She said, I'm strung out, and she told what she was on, and she said, I want you to pray for me. And we prayed for her there at Max Minute Mart. She said, you know what? I thought I could handle just a little bit. I thought I could handle a little bit just to fit in. And when I got a hold of a little bit, now she pulled her sleeves up and she had needle marks up both arms. Friends, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that flesh loves to be pleasure tonight. And when you think you're above the flesh, it won't be alive. That flesh will come alive in your life. He says tonight that flesh is real, but that flesh is relentless. Once you take a little bit and let flesh have a little bit of pleasure, it'll take complete control. He says tonight, the lust of the flesh is relentless. If you feed it, it's what I wrote down, man, glory. And I know this firsthand. If you feed the lust of the flesh, it'll eventually eat you. Your flesh, if you feed it what it wants all the time, eventually it'll eat you. For a moment, you got control over it. For a moment, you can handle it, and you do got control. You can still do what you do and still go to work and still be functioning in the community. You can still do, but it won't be long. If you keep feeding that flesh for long enough, it'll come a time that flesh will eat you. You won't be able to say no to it. And if you feed it, that's what will happen. Turn with me tonight. We're talking about the lust of the flesh. And I believe a church needs to hear this tonight as John wrote it down here, for the lust of the flesh. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 17 tonight. And as we get to the book of Galatians, he's talking to the church at Galatia here. And he says here tonight that lust of the flesh is relentless tonight. It just won't quit in your life unless you get a hold of it and say, God, I want you to take care of this in my life. Look what he says tonight. The lust of the flesh is real, but it's relentless tonight. It won't give up. Look what he says in Galatians 5:17. For the flesh, it lusteth against the spirit. It does. That flesh lusteth against the spirit. when you're born again and that Holy Ghost lives inside of you, you know what? That old sin nature, it don't like it, and it wants you to feed it and not feed the Spirit. If you're feeding that Spirit the Word of God and you're praying and you're seeking God's face, you know what? That flesh is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and it don't like it. Look what he says. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on the inside. Do you ever know that? Man, when I was lost, I could do what I wanted to. Man, I could talk to you any way I wanted to. It didn't bother me a bit. Can I get a witness? I don't care whose feelings I hurt. Man, I didn't care. I talked to you anyway. Do what I wanted to do. When I got off of work on Friday, man, I'd be what I wanted to be to Monday. But when I got born again, the Holy Ghost started living inside of me. And that attitude of not caring started to become a caring attitude. Started wanting to tell people about Jesus Christ and tell them, hey, that way of life, is there's no reward there. He says tonight, and there's a war on the inside to do good, to do bad. It's warring back and forth. I didn't have that when I was lost. I didn't have that war going on in the inside. That's how I know I'm saved. That's how you know you're saved. There's a war. Do you mess up? Well, of course you mess up. You're not perfect. But there ought to be something in there warring on the inside. There ought to be something wearing me out and wearing you out when I don't do what's right. Amen? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So they can't get along. They just can't get along. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You can't do the things that you would. If you can do the things that, man, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, the lust of the flesh. If you can do what you used to do and you ain't got no problem with doing what you used to do, you need to get a new you. Wow, glory. Listen to me tonight. Here's what the Bible says. He says if you can keep doing the same old thing and there's nothing warring on the inside, there's nothing tug and there's no pulling on the inside, you need to get a new you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said these will not work. You can't do what you used to do. The lust of the flesh, when he got here, he said this is of the world. Man, this is of the world. If you can keep living that sinful way and there's nothing tugging. Now, I'm going to say tonight, I've seen saved people that are living a sinful way, but there's a tug. I've seen men and women of God, and you have too, that they've let that flesh come back up and they squall their eyes out. They won't deliver from that. They're saved, but they're letting the flesh have its way. And he says tonight, look what he says in verse number 17, that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do what you used to do. Brother Roy Parker, I can't do what I used to do. I can't honky-tonk like I used to. The honky-tonk ain't in there no more. Man, I'm trying to tell y'all something. This area is good. Let me go on. The flesh against the Spirit. And you say, preacher, what is these fleshly desires? I'm going to give you a list of fleshly desires out of the Word of God. And if any of these are in there and you don't have a problem with it, I'm just telling you Bible. And you don't have a bit of problem with it. I can do that. That don't bother me. There's a problem. With this list that's in this Bible, if I can do any of these, man, it don't bother me. I'm good. There's a problem on the inside. Folks, tonight, I want you to know, when I first got saved, I didn't understand this. There was a war going on in the inside. I've had men in this church that's got born again and they had a drinking problem, and they get out in the world and they get off and they get to drinking and they call me. And I answer the phone. I said, man, what's going on, brother? How you doing? And they squalling. I'm talking about sobbing. I'm talking about sobbing. And I said, brother, what's going on, man? Talk to me. And when they finally get their composure, they said, brother BJ, man, I done drunk a beer. I done drunk a beer. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. And they, what are you talking about? I said, you only drunk one? Yeah, I've only drunk one. I said, glory to God, used to you drunk a case. I don't understand. I said, you're on the phone with a preacher telling him, I can't do nothing for you, but I say that the Holy Ghost is working in you. You say you ain't enjoying it. Say you're on vacation with your family, but you're sitting here on the phone with the preacher, and I got one, and I barely could get it down, and it's eating me alive. That's how that man knows he's born again. Satan's going to rear his head up. He's going to bring things your way, but there ought to be a conviction when it comes your way. I told that man on the phone, he was squalling his eyes out. He said, what do I do now? I said, man, just get away from that stuff. Pray, ask Jesus to forgive you, and keep rocking on, buddy. You're going to be all right. I said, if you'd have drunk a case and come back and drunk another case and another case and right off the bat, there ain't nothing wrong, you got problems. But see, the old man tells you, you can keep doing what you wanted to. You can keep doing it. You're saved. Just keep doing it. You're good. The lust of the flesh. But the Bible says it won't work. It won't work. Let me tell you this tonight. We're going to look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Galatians 5, right where you're at, verse number 19. The lust of the flesh. Pornography on your phone, if you can look at it, by the way, that's a lust of the flesh. There's a lot of men and young boys that's got captivity by pornography on their phone. They lust to look at that every day of their life. They lust to look at that on their phone. Tonight, I want to say this. If you have a problem with that, you need to get you an accountability partner to watch your phone with you. I'm just saying. I don't know who that's. I don't know. Verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh. There it is. The works of the flesh in verse number 19 are manifested, which are these, are made known. He said, I'm not going to tell you that the lust of the flesh is going to bother you without giving you the list that will bother you. Number one, he says adultery. It's the lust of the flesh. Adultery. Adultery. Number two, fornication. Number three, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of these which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past. Look at this. I told you in the time past that they which do these things, they do them, okay? Not you did them, and now you don't do them. That's totally different. You did them, you're born again, now you're not doing them. Totally different. But he says, they which do these things, they doing them, and they enjoy doing them. They're in them. They're lined up in them. Shall not. Well, maybe just, no. Bible. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me give you this tonight. Why do people get involved in such things as the work of the flesh? Because the flesh loves to be pleasured. That's the truth. That's the truth. I know you didn't come tonight to get this, but hey, somebody, I got it, and I was glad to be able to give it to you. Amen. The lust of the flesh tonight. I'm going to show you the third thing. Number one, the lust of the flesh is real. Man, it is so real. If you don't believe me, go look at your county jails, look at your hospitals, people at OD, go look at broken lives, go look anywhere you want to, the lust of the flesh. All them men and women are there for one reason and one reason only, the lust of the flesh. It's destroyed them. You say, preacher, you can't say that about people. I was there myself. I've been through them programs. And it was all because of the lust of the flesh. Number one, the lust of the flesh is real. Man, I'm telling you, it's real. Don't think you can handle it because you can't. It'll take care of you before you'll ever take care of it. The lust of the flesh is relentless. But the third thing, the lust of the flesh will ruin. Ruin. I'm talking about ruin somebody's testimony. The lust of the flesh will ruin somebody's testimony. I want to take you to three areas in the Bible that three individuals that ruined their testimony. Number one this afternoon, I want you to look here with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 11, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter number 11 tonight. We're talking about ruin someone's testimony. 2 Samuel chapter number 11 tonight, and I want to show you this in the text. You know where we're going tonight, and you know where we're at tonight. And where we're at tonight is with King David. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight before I go any further. If I told you King David tonight, would you remember him as a mighty king? I'm talking about a warrior of God. Would you remember creating me a clean heart, Psalm 51, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Would you remember that, or would you remember that his affair with Bathsheba? I've preached to this church, fixed to be 10 years, working on 10 years. One slip up, and nobody will ever remember 10 years worth of preaching, but they'll remember that one slip up all the days of my life. All the days of my life, I'll tote it with me. Oh, preacher, listen to me tonight. The lust of the flesh will ruin a person's testimony tonight. Let me show you this. 2 Samuel 11:1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they did destroy the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." He tarried still. "And it came to pass in the evening time," when you're not where you're supposed to be, you're going to get in trouble. When you ain't where you're supposed to be, you're going to get in trouble. "And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" Let me give you this. You say, what was that lust of the flesh? Number one, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was his downfall. You know well as I do. He rocked on. He got forgiveness. He came back. He got restored with the Lord, with what the Lord would want to do. He come on back. But there's something about that right there. It always stayed at his life. It always stayed at his door. Tonight, I want you to know that the lust of the flesh will ruin a testimony tonight. You say, you don't believe me, preacher, I just don't. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew, if you will, chapter number 1 tonight. Matthew chapter number 1 tonight. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 6 tonight. I'm talking about the lust of the flesh, it'll ruin. Matthew 1:6. All right, we done come and we're in the New Testament and we're in the lineage. He begot this and that. Look here at what he says in Matthew 1:6. "And Jesse begot David the king." Hallelujah. "And David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." He never could get that testimony's there. Number two tonight, not only is David, we see that his testimony, man, I'm telling you, get to a place where if you ain't careful, you'll ruin your testimony. Number two, the prodigal son. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 15 tonight. I want to show you this in the text. Luke chapter number 15, the lust of the flesh tonight. Luke chapter number 15, and we're going to look tonight, if you will, in verse number 12. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 12, it's the prodigal son. The first one that was in that list was adultery. As you read on down that list, the second one, a few more down, it comes in, idolatry tonight. Idleness, what you put above something else. You idle it, you want it, you've got to have it, and you want that no matter what the cost or what it takes, you want that tonight. Look what he says tonight about the prodigal son in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 12. "And the younger of them said unto his father, 'Give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with righteous living." Ruined his testimony. If you tell the story about the prodigal son, you have to tell, listen to me tonight, you have to tell about him leaving before you could ever tell about him coming home. He was already home, man. He was already home. He already had it all. Why go out into the world? Why go out to them things? Because the lust of the flesh. He seen something with his eyes that looked better over there than he had right here. He seen something better over there. If I had that, man, I'd have it made. Have you ever thought about that? Man, look at somebody and say, they got it made. You don't know what's going on. It may not be having it made. You know what will make you think that person has it made? The lust of the flesh. What are you looking at? You're looking at the fleshly stuff that they have. You're looking at flesh. All right, let me go on. Let me get out of here. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua. And we're going to finish up right here with this one. The lust of the flesh will ruin a testimony. Joshua, if you will, tonight, if you'll turn with me there to the book of Joshua tonight, and we're going to look at this. Joshua chapter number, I believe, 6. Let me look here. Joshua chapter number 6. Let's go to verse number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. They just defeated Jericho. You remember it. Man, they marched around the walls and the walls fell. Everything's going good. Listen to me tonight. When you're on a mountaintop, just be careful. Please be careful. That lust of the flesh. When you're on a mountaintop, your family's good, your marriage is good, your finances is good. Everything's good. I don't know why I'm bringing this night. God's laid on my heart. When everything is good, you be on your P's and Q's. When that old devil starts sliding things in there that looks good, you be careful tonight. As your pastor, I'm telling you, you be careful tonight. He'll paint it up. He'll make it look good. They just went to Jericho. It was completely shut up in chapter number 6. Nobody could defeat them. Nobody could get in. But the Lord was with Joshua. He told him, said, you go march around that camp. They went. He said, but here's the deal. I'm going to give you what you want, but everything that's in that city, it's got to be destroyed. You can't bring nothing out. It's got to be destroyed. In your life tonight, there's some things that you're going to have to destroy, and I am too. There's some things that I know tonight that my flesh loves, and I cannot allow it to come into my life. If there's one thing I stand before you tonight, and I tell you tonight that's the truth and the honest to God truth tonight, my nature tonight and one thing that my flesh loves is drugs tonight. I won't lie to you about that. I won't lie to nobody about that. I'll tell you straight up tonight. I know that in my life. If it's drinking, meth, it don't matter what it is. Don't have to label it. Just whatever it is that gets my mind changed, that's what my desire would be tonight. I know that tonight. My wife knows that tonight. My daughter knows that tonight. My mama knows that tonight. I've not hid that against nobody. Why? Because I brought it open. I destroyed what I had hid and said, here it is. If you see an altar of me, if you see me altering just a little bit, if you see a little bit of change, if you see me get fatigued, if you see me get mad, if you see me get angry, if you see me using language I ain't supposed to use, if you see this, it's going to be because of one thing, and it's the lust of the flesh, and it's coming back up. That's what it's going to be. You have to lay that out there, and you got to get real. If you want to be where God has you, you got to get real. You say, I don't want nobody to know my problems. You better have somebody you can trust in and say, look, if you see me slipping over here, call my attention to it, please. You've got to. You've got to. You've got to. I told in a revival, man, we may be getting close to having to go out. We are, but it'll be okay. I told in a revival over at Brother Andy's. We was out here in the parking lot. Man, we was building a new church, and we was having a good time, and we was out there. The lady said, don't jump off that log again. If you jump off that log again, you're going to hurt your knee, hurt your ankle. I said, oh, I'm good, man. At that time, I wasn't even in my 40s yet. Amen? 40s is different. These boys said they couldn't tell nothing. If they got 60, they lie. 40s, you can tell the difference about 40-something. I jumped off that log and I hurt my leg. I thought it was my knee. And I said, it's my knee. I went to Eric Stanford, Dr. Eric, he said, no, it ain't your knee, it's your ankle. I said, no, it's my knee, it's not my ankle. He said, no, it is your ankle. Your ankle's making your knee hurt because it ain't right. And I looked at him, I said, okay, whatever. He said, I'm going to put a shot in that ankle and it's going to fix that knee. He put a shot in that ankle, that knee quit hurting. He said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 30 days. You're going to go home. You're going to ice it. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I'm going to give you some Lortabs, and that's going to help the pain, and that's going to help. And he just went in. I said, well, wait a minute, man. It's my kinfolk now. It's my kinfolk. This ain't somebody down the road. This ain't some stranger. It's my kinfolk. I got it recorded tonight. He has the authorization to give me them. I am hurt, okay? I'm hurt. He has the authorization. He can sign the paper. There's nothing about this that's illegal. It's all completely legal. I got insurance, and I can go get them filled. And I look at him. I said, well, wait a minute, man. He said, what? I said, man, you know me. Come on, you know me. He said, man, you've been saying it. I said, don't you kid yourself. I said, if you give me them 30 right now, I'll probably have them all late in about 2 or 3 days. He said, really? I said, man, my flesh loves to be pleasured. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go on home, and I'm going to hope it gets better. He said, I want you to ice it. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. If you don't get no better, we'll do this. We'll do that. When I walked out of that room and I got in my car to go home, you know what the old devil told me? How stupid you are. You could have got them, put them in a drawer. You didn't have to use them. Save them to when you needed them. Save them to when you need them. Oh, man, that's the trick of the devil. Just save them when you need them. Save them for a hard time. You see, you're already planning for the hard time. The hard time ain't even got there yet. You're relying on what you got in your drawer. Man, I don't even know who I'm preaching to tonight. I got off. Oh, man, I'm in the right field tonight. As I got in the car and I started going home, I called Brandy and told her, and she said, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I've been saved. It's been 19 years, give or take a few there. But you listen to me tonight, it still is so real in my life, Brother Roy, just like it was the day I got saved. That war's still in there. That battle's still in there. It's still going on the inside. That lust of the flesh, and I have to keep it at bay every single day of my life. There's some things, there's a thorn in the flesh that he just won't remove. He won't remove it from Paul, and he ain't going to remove it from me. There's some things I'm going to have to live with, and I'm going to have to learn to say no. Tonight, I want to show you something else here in the text as we move on down, and we're fixing to close it up tonight. And not only it is relentless tonight, it will not give up. And as we end the text tonight, right where you're at in Jericho, Achan. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan. Look in 7:1, the son. And he told what he did, and he told all that he did there. And you know what he did? He took that silver and he took that gold and he buried it in his tent. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, when the lust of the flesh comes in your life, you won't be able to handle it. It won't be long. You will carry it home with you. He carried it and buried it in his tent where nobody knew, but there was one that knew, and it was God. They had defeated Jericho, and Joshua said, "Ain't no need to pray. We're going to Ai. We can take care of Ai. We got this." Went to Ai and they got whooped. And he come back here, and as you look in chapter number 7 of Jericho, he fell before God. Joshua did. And he started praying. And basically, this is what God says over there when you get in verse number 10. It basically is what he said. He said, "Get up, quit praying. Ain't no need of praying. You know what the sin is. You know what's going on. There's no need of praying about that. Get up and take care of business." And he went to where Achan was. He said he took him. He took his family. He took his kid. He took his wife. He took all the gold. He took everything that man had stolen, hid, and took him to the valley, and beat him, stoned him, and burned him up, and everything he had. And now, you know what the Lord said? He said, "Now I'm with you. Let's go." Tonight, he's not going to do that to you, and he's not going to do that to me right now. But that individual that never gets born again in their life, there's going to come a day that they're going to burn up. Tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is, you're born again tonight, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not let the flesh have its way on your life tonight. Don't, please don't. Don't let it have that. Rebuke it in Jesus' name and get away from it. Achan, it ruined his testimony. But tonight I seen something else, and we're going to close in this. Number one, the lust of the flesh is real. It's relentless, and it'll ruin a person. But the lust of the flesh can be restrained tonight. It can be. You can restrain it. You can hold it back by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look what he says in Galatians. Let's go back there, chapter number 5. In verse number 16. Galatians 5 and 16. Galatians 5 and 16. The lust of the flesh can be restrained. I've been trying to watch what I eat. I'm going to give you a little illustration. I've been trying to watch it. You know, trying to do good. You know what I mean? Well, Sister Jennifer and David's wife, Shana, they made some chocolate homemade ice cream. And they sent it home in a bowl. And that thing's in a Tupperware bowl. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Had to clean the freezer out to get it in. What I knowed, I didn't need it. All the good food that I could eat, I said, "Nah, I ain't talking to nobody tonight." What I knew I needed, I'd put it to the side. And what I didn't need, I said, "Well, you know, it was nice. And it was, you know, and they're going to ask me, did I eat any of it? So I'm going to stick it in there. And I'm going to eat just a little bit. Not a whole lot. Just a little." I believe that was one night last week. And every night I've had a bowl of it. And that thing was about that tall. And about that wide. What I'm not supposed to be eating at all. And there's about a half an inch left in the bottom of it. And I asked Brandy. And I asked Kaylee. I said, "Who's been eating that ice cream out in there?" He said, "Ain't nobody ate it but you." I said, "I've ate that whole bowl almost." He said, "Preacher, what are you talking about tonight? You'll move out what you need, what you know you need in your life. You'll move out what you know you need to put in what you don't need. You know what, tonight, your pastor, I'll move out what I need to put in what I don't need. I waste hours doing that. I waste a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of stress, a lot of work. I waste so much trying to put in what I don't need when I already got what I do need. Preacher, how am I going to get over that?" I'm glad you asked. He says that it can be restrained. Look what he says in verse number 16. Galatians 5:16. "This I say then," if you're having a problem with the lust of the flesh, "this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Nothing else to preach on. That's simple. That don't need to be explained. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How am I going to walk in the Spirit, preacher? And one, you're going to get up every morning and you're going to say, "Look, this is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know what's coming my way. I don't know what I got to deal with, but I'm going to walk in it." So in 2007, when I got born again, I've not And this is dangerous to say this, because I know my adversary. He is out there and he is loving for me to slip and fall. I know he is. I know he is. But since August of 2007, when I got born again, I've not used one drug, alcohol, nothing. Okay? And that's something, if you're an NAAA, that's something to be proud of. That's something to be good about. That's something to be high standard and congratulations. But there's a lot of other stuff I have failed on. Listen to me. Since I've been saved, there's been a lot of stuff I have failed on. And I have slipped up on. And I have should not have done. And I should not have said. And I should have held back. You know, the Bible says a man that keeps his lips, keeps his tongue, keeps his mouth. It protects his way. A lot of times I open my mouth and I should keep it shut. And I wouldn't have all this other destruction. You say, preacher, well, why that since 2007? Because that's one thing I know that'll make me slip up quicker than anything. And I watch it every day of my life. I watch it. I try to keep it at bay and I try to control it. And since 2007, by the power of the Holy Ghost, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost and what he's done in my life, he's allowed me to be clean. I've said this a lot of times, and people in here can testify to this. In an addict's life, sobriety is king. God's Lord, he's king. But you know what a slip-up would do, and I do too. Somebody that's addicted, a man, a woman, whatever, addicted to porn, one watch and you're back. A man that drinks, drugs, does whatever, man, you know what it'll do in your life, man. You'll know. You know how, you know. And when you got born again and you felt that cleanliness for the first time in your life, you say, I've got to walk in the Spirit every day of my life. I've got to walk in the Spirit. There's been days, and I'm going to close. They're ready to come in. There's been days, and she's walking in the back door. She can testify. There's been days I've come in from my study at the house and walk in. Man, I used to not never cry. When my daddy died, I was 16, supposed to be 17-year-old. I'll never forget. I talked to both my sisters, and I said, what am I going to do? I don't know if I'll cry at the funeral. Man, I was hard. Man, I was just hard. I didn't know if I'd cry at the funeral. And now there's days you can ask her, I'll come in, and she'll come in. And she said, what's wrong with you? And I sit there squalling like a baby. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, oh, no. So are you sad? I said, I'm just happy as happy can be. Tears flowing. Because I can lay my head down tonight and say, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but today I've walked in the Spirit that I might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you've been fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and you know what I've talked about tonight, try it for one day. Don't try for years. Just get you one day that says, today I'm going to walk in the Spirit. When somebody says something that I don't like, I'm not going to get rude about it. I'm going to try my best just to walk in the Spirit. To walk the way that God would have me to walk. I believe this church here is a loving church. I believe it's a praying church. I believe that. I truly believe that tonight. But as I look around this room tonight, and I'm not judging nobody, but we everybody in this room, there's not one person can get away from this. Every one of us has a past. Huh? Even a little bitty, about 7, 8-year-old just got saved. They had to have a past or they couldn't have been saved. Had to realize there's a sinner. They need to be saved. Holy Ghost couldn't convict them, drawing them. So we've all had a past. So if we've all had a past, we all have the lust of the flesh that we know we need to keep under control and let God have its way in our life tonight. If you're struggling with it tonight, my prayer is that God will give you deliverance over it. He'll give you help. He'll give you mercy and he'll give you grace. Because that same thing that keeps slipping you up, you'll get to the place you'll hate to see it coming. You'll hate to see it coming. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you tonight that we only got on one of the three fundamental truths of what slips us, of what's in our life that we have to keep down. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes is the next one coming up. The pride of life, Lord God. We all have eyes in this room. There's not a person. We all got eyes. We all can see. We can see for the good or we can see for the bad. Lord God, tonight I pray I always see for the good. I always pray I see your face. I see you high and lifted up tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you be with this church. You be with every single individual. Father, I just pray tonight that when that old flesh tries to raise itself up tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus that we rebuke it tonight. We walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be with the prayer request tonight. Be with the ones that are hurting. Have your will and way in this service. And we'll always be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. I thank you tonight. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.